a diabetes breakthrough.
The last U.S. soldiers are leaving Iraq. Is it a country that's better off since we invaded, or is it worse for the wear? I don't think too many people are going to say it's worse. We won't know until history judges what happened there. Easy for me to say. That's my coffee talking. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I don't care what your stripes are, left of left, right of right, or something in between, confused, furious, whatever. You're invited to the party on this overnight highway. Keep these digits close, 800-259-5791. While the other guys are playing some repeats from earlier in the day, we got new stuff brewing, including, and I'll tell you why things change. Take a listen to this. This is the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, earlier in the day, talking about this whole payroll tax cut, extension of the tax cuts, and the nonsense of the push-pull over money and things, riders that are thrown into bills. Here's what he had to say.
DOA, dead on arrival. It's here, it's dead. My friends on the other side of the aisle obviously want to have the government shut down.
What's so interesting about that is that happened on Wednesday. Friday is when everybody was supposed to break and run for the hills, wherever they hail from, our representatives. But it was looking like the government might shut down and the Senate was sticking to its guns. But check this out. The Democrats actually backed down, backed away, slurked away from their demand for higher taxes on millionaires as part of that legislation that Reid was referring to pay for the extension of the payroll tax cut. So Congress is looking to push through those critical year-enders, the bills. Otherwise, they're going to be in shutdown mode. And at that point, he was pretty adamant about it. But check out what happened earlier in the day as well. So Reid saying that, and the president watches as the House passes the defense bill after Obama dropped the veto threat. So for the House, it just sailed through. And ultimately, the vote was 283 to 136. What happened on Wednesday night after some last-minute changes, actually, I guess the word is placated or please the White House, and it ensured that Obama's ability to prosecute terror suspects in the civilian court system was intact. They said, yep, thumbs up. So this would be, I guess, considered bipartisanship cooperation. The Senate is expected to pass that measure on Thursday, send it to the president, and then bada bing, it's over with, they're done. So there was pressure on the House and the Senate working on the bill last week. Obama and the people around him were keeping up the pressure. The press was on in full swing. But how about backing down? That is surprising, because I really didn't think the Democrats were going to back down, and obviously they decided they were going to do that, and they were going to just try to get this thing passed. And there are a couple of little hidden nuggets in this that will frustrate plenty of people, I'm sure. See, that's what I'm talking about when they stick things in bills. Arizona Senator John McCain, who's the top dog on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and some other Republicans are pledging to return to Washington next month to avoid the automatic across-the-board cuts to the defense required in 2013. The failure of the super committee, which we knew. I mean, super in front of that committee, I've already said it. It was doomed to fail from the beginning. I think it was all about trotting out efforts. If you just put a team together on both sides, you can say, I did what I could do. So it would mean $1.2 trillion in cuts over the next 10 years. Half would come from defense. People who are hawkish on defense say that the 10% cut would kill the Pentagon. It would hollow it out and devastate military readiness. Key thing is, though, right now, the one piece of legislation that had to go through, it's looking like it's going through, 662 bill, that's the defense bill Wednesday night, that went through. And that was huge of the House to do that. But it looked like they were going in that direction anyway. It's interesting because Jay Carney is the new White House flack or spokesperson. He was trotted out in front of the microphones and he said the new bill doesn't challenge the president's ability to collect intelligence, incapacitate dangerous terrorists, and protect the American people. And that goes to what I mentioned before, when suspects are tried. So suspected terrorists, even U.S. citizens, would, within our nation's borders anyway, they would have a right to a trial and then indefinite detention. Oh, my. There are a lot of different directions we could go to, I think, with with that one. But the key thing is, you see how it happens in D.C. Reed is hysterical in the morning, and then quickly, before you've just passed lunch, before you know it, something different has happened. They've caved in, they've given in, whatever. But it's, who is it a win for, the Democrats or the Republicans? It's a win for any of you who just frankly desperately needed the extra money. If you desperately needed the extra money, then $35 a check does matter. It does matter. All right, this matters too. With all of this diplomatic crisis that's surrounding the drone that was downed in Iran, it was finally revealed that the U.S. Air Force has bought a new jet-powered stealth drone, and its immediate plan, not to fly around in some kind of a test pattern, but deployment in Afghanistan. This is the newest arm stealth drone that we have. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of machinery when you see it. A great place to go and check out if you like planes in general. A great place to go and check out planes is the Intrepid in New York City. It's mind-blowing, the different planes that they have on that aircraft carrier. It's one of the coolest things that I've ever, ever, ever been to. So if you make your way to New York City, carve out some time, do yourself a favor and go there. Now the drone, our one drone, of course, that was downed in Iran is on display in the We Hate the U.S. Museum, and it is just sitting there, but has a slew of information on it, which to me is utterly, impossibly dangerous, and I don't understand why there's not more noise about that. The president has asked for the drone back. What do you think his chances are, on a scale of 1 to 10 of him getting it back, 10 being the most positive? I'm going to say 1. I'm going to say less than 1. There's no way we are getting that drone back. No way. All right, hang with us here on ATN. As coming up next, we got some bad boy action.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shades to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were
all right, as the song says, it's time for a little bad boys. I think the bad boy, one of the bad boys this time around, is Mitt Romney. Frankly, Mitt, what's up with calling calling Newt Gingrich names? And if you're gonna call him names, you gotta call him manly names, not zany. Romney used the word to describe the man who is now taken over the lead in some of the polls. Zany. That's what he said Newt Gingrich was in an interview with the New York Times before cautioning that zany is not what we need in a president. And he used it so many times. You know when somebody uses a word over and over again? I'm guilty of that occasionally, but not of using that word. Zany, this is what he said. Zany is great in a campaign. It's great on talk radio. It's great in print. It makes for fun reading. But in terms of a president, we need a leader, and a leader needs to become someone who can bring America together. He's just too zany. That's a reason, all right, but it's a stupid reason. Who writes Mitt Romney's copy? I mean, come on. The worst. The worst. All right, here's another one. There's a billion-dollar con artist that I heard about, another Ponzi schemer. And I think pretty much now his story's out, but the Ponzi schemer is Scott Rothstein. He bragged about his financial acumen. He is so good with numbers. He called himself a pimp and a punk. He said he loved making money. He says he feels like he just took six Viagras when he's making money. So what's happened is there is a lawsuit against a card dealership heir, Ted Morris, who's being sued by 24 Rothstein investors who claim he was a willing partner in the Rothstein $1.2 billion fraud. It's the largest in South Florida history. The scheme collapsed in 2009, and Rothstein, 49, is serving a 50-year federal sentence. They had emails that were sent between 2006 and 2008, and Rothstein mixes slang and emoticons and all kinds of things, and you know, they talk about a promise of a quick profit from the International Bank of Wow. These Ponzi guys, how do they convince people to jump on the bandwagon? That I just do not get. I don't understand it. They have to be good at talking people into things. Have to be. So in the emails, they were so profane and cocky and all this other stuff. It was easy to pick up an alleged schemer to Scott Rothstein, who bragged about how great he was and how pumped up he was by how many people he had gotten and all that other stuff. Crazy, crazy, crazy nonsense. Speaking of nonsense, and some people would call him a bad boy without a doubt. But Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, who many of you also know owns Magnolia Pictures. I mean, what is somebody to do that has billions and billions of dollars? He could never spend it. He could never spend it all. He just couldn't, even if he takes exotic trips, has a plane waiting by, all that kind of stuff. But now Cuban has his eyes set on a completely different prize. The prize is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're for sale. But he's saying, hey, look, I know they're for sale, but I don't want to overpay for this puppy because that wouldn't be right. Here's Cuban.
If the deal is the right deal and there's enough capital from all of us to really go after a championship, then I'm interested. If the price gets so high that, you know, all that TV money goes just to paying the bills, that's not a good idea. I've been very clear that I think it'd be a mistake to overpay. I think a lot of people are looking at the TV money and saying, look, I can use that TV money to pay for the purchase price. And I think that would be just repeating the same mistakes that previous ownership made. You've got to be able to go into that organization with a lot of capital and be able to, you know, reconfigure the organization, reinvest in the infrastructure, and just as importantly, invest in new players.
Yeah, he's right about that. And it's a tough game, and especially in Los Angeles with the crosstown American League team really beefing up. Pujols in the lineup and C.J. Wilson, a left-hander in the pitching rotation. They just got that much better, but they're crosstown rivals, of course. So, interesting. Cuban, will he buy the Dodgers or not? I'm going to say maybe not. I've always wondered this about hurricane forecasting. Two Colorado State University climatologists have been tracking and predicting the severity of hurricanes for about 30 years, and they are giving up their long-range forecasting.
I'm actually kind of ready to party right now.
And the reason that they're giving up their forecasting is because they say the advanced predictions just aren't accurate. So they're going to suspend doing that because it hasn't proved useful over the last 20 years, actually. And they say their annual December report will predict the severity of the upcoming year, you know, the hurricane season and all of that, but that they're changing their philosophy now. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration at Colorado State and other traditionally issue hurricane predictions in late May, just prior to the start of the season, and update them in August, just before the historic peak. So when they look at all these numbers and they're not happy with, they probably have type A personalities, they're not happy with the way that everything's going down now at this point because they don't feel like they're getting in front of it enough. The day-to-day weather patterns have a tremendous impact on the strength and track of the storm, so they watch it, but they don't really know for sure. I mean, of course, how can they? They're not omniscient. They don't know for sure ultimately what's going to happen. I don't know if I told this story on the air or not, but my first television job was at a place called NTV, and I can remember how excited I was in going out there. It was literally in the middle of the cornfields, and I can remember some of the things that happened in Nebraska that just wowed you, that kind of took you by surprise. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I don't know if I've told this story or not on America Tonight, but we did chase tornadoes, not hurricanes, because now you're inland. And I was from hurricane country. What did I know about tornadoes? And I have never been so scared in my life as to when. And it wasn't bearing down on us or any of that, but it was not too far off in the distance, a giant, I'm saying giant, funnel cloud. And here, naively, we're chasing around in our little car and shooting some video of it, and then not realizing just how close it's getting and how panic-stricken the faces around us look. And, you know, when you're in those situations, you're on the highway, if you have an overpass, you're supposed to get underneath the overpass, and we saw some other people doing that, so we did the same thing. And if the concrete went or something happened where we're underneath it, at least we're clinging to something and we have a better chance at trying to survive it. Luckily, that didn't happen, and we were able to drive away from that. But how these people in this show, Storm Chasers, how these people just chase, and they could be right in the thick of it, especially with tornadoes, how they jump. A little bit different than hurricanes, because you're not looking for that to happen, but it's with tornadoes, it happens a lot. And boom, it just happens, it's there, and there's not much warning. There's a little siren, a little Dorothy siren, I used to call it, in the background, going off, and you can hear it faintly, because you live on the outskirts of town, and that's the best warning, I think, that any kind of system that anyone would be able to come up with at this point. But imagine, with some of the innovative people we have now, imagine what it'll look like 10 years from now. Guarantee completely different. Hey, coming up here on America Tonight, we're doing our year enders, the big stories, and we got a couple of big ones for you. Muammar Gaddafi going down, the reaction to what's going to happen to the government, what are they going to put in place, and it's really a waiting game now at this point. But we talked to a constitutional law expert, and we talked to our pal, terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us here on ATN.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
An interesting day as far as the news went, and I think there's a tremendous amount of concern in the United States now that we've seen what happened with Egypt, and the fact that, in fact, as I was talking to a professor who is an American professor but teaches on Tahrir Square, she was so excited about the fact that Egyptians were running around in the early days looking for copies of the Federalist Papers books and thinking that this was going to actually be an organic kind of, giving birth to a real sense of democracy. And to look at what has happened in Egypt and, for the informed observer, understand that their situation is becoming progressively more authoritarian. There's more persecution of the Copts. It is now looking more genocidal in a sense that the Copts are either having to flee or face what if anyone watched the videos of what happened recently with the demonstration, because the Copts, there have been several situations with the military firing live rounds into churches being burned, and now we see the armored vehicles actually chasing down and killing the Christians who are demonstrating. So we definitely have not seen an improvement or any sign of real promise of democracy in Egypt. And those of us who have been watching what's happened in Libya have actually now been understanding that as three of the leaders of this junta or whichever movement you're looking at, but that is taking control or plans to take control, are talking about implementation of Sharia law. It is a very, very frightening thing because Sharia in these countries is a very hardline, strict Islamist political regime rather than something that might have become westernized to the point that it's more of a Sharia light in Western countries.
Yeah, so what do you think, Karen, that people don't understand? Because when you dive into the culture and you umbrellaed it for us, and that was great about Sharia law, how it's the real hardline approach. So what does that mean, for example, for women in that country?
It's devastating for women simply because everything about the system is based upon a tribal sense of honor and shame, and everything reflects on the male. So what the woman does, says, how she dresses, how her marital terms are negotiated, at what age she is promised to be married, all of these things have to do with how well the man controls his family and how he is viewed within this tribal system. And so it becomes very difficult for women to have any sense of autonomy, any freedom to express themselves, any freedom to pursue a career. And certainly, in fact, I've just done a survey of American law, family law cases where Sharia has been accepted in our courts, because we give what's called comity or respect to other legal jurisdictions as people move in from other countries. And so we have been recognizing some of these marital arrangements where the women, first of all, before the woman's married, all the terms are negotiated by a man who may or may not be a family member. And then as if the marriage should dissolve and there's a dispute, it's a matter of an agreement early on, usually before the marriage, where the woman has agreed to very, very little compared to what we would view as equitable terms under community property. And she doesn't get the children and. So it is a very, very discriminatory system against women. And as much as we talk about reform, it's not happening.
Wow. And so, you know, you look at what happened under the Gaddafi regime, and now you look at the what it could be leaning toward, this Sharia law, and it's kind of like going from the frying pan right into the fire almost, don't you think?
That's what we're worried about. There's no way to know. It's like there's a hornet's nest, and you know it's bad, and you know it's dangerous, but everybody's buzzing around, and you know, things are contained, and there's some sense of status quo. And so that was bad. But what's coming when you kick that open, and as much as we were involved in the process of kicking it open, we should have made it clear that we would be involved in the process, and certainly those who are expecting freedom and some sense of semblance maybe of democracy, you know, are going to be very disappointed, because all we're doing now is talking about encouraging democratic leaning and, you know, things that are all just very vague and ideal sounding, but there is no sense that we will have, or any Western nation will have, any real leverage when it comes to a government that would have any kind of balancing powers or divisions within government where there's accountability, where you even have the separation of powers that we know is so important within a democracy. So it is a very, very devastating situation, especially considering Israel. The border with Egypt was one of the borders they didn't have to worry about. And so between Egypt and Libya and the people that are fleeing those regions, there just is a tremendous amount of unrest. And certainly the uncertainty is something that we worry about, because the Muslim Brotherhood is so well organized.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Muslim Brotherhood, and I think people don't realize that it, really you're talking about it being littered with the people that would practice the hardline Sharia law. That's what it would be, and that's what you, as you said, Egypt and now Libya and Israel. You know, so what's at stake for Israel? I mean, everything. It's the whole game, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, where it was very difficult for Israel, and I was there recently and flew in a helicopter at some of the most narrow parts and looked down at their defensive. In fact, the whole trip had to do with assessing their defensive abilities and what the threats were. And this was before this whole idea that there would be this kind of Arab upheaval, which in the beginning I know we thought we wanted to look at as an Arab Spring, but in these areas where Muslim Brotherhood models, if you look at what they've done in Africa, you know that they are experts at coming in with the medical facilities, with the schools, with the whole sense of order. And then with that, the people really do capitulate to a sense of control because they, you know, to have the order and the food and the just a sense of stability. What they may not be realizing is that when they agree to this, they have also then agreed to a sense of that kind of hardline Sharia control. So for Israel, this would be a very ominous trend and something that, especially in light of the recent prisoner exchange, I think just sets a very, very bad tone for the future.
Yeah, I agree. What about the United States in all of this now that this has happened? What happens here?
At the point that we are looking toward a future where certain uprisings, you look at what happened in Iran, and there are the same kinds of elements in Syria that look to us, just like parts of the Soviet Union did, to really to follow through on our commitment to help with those groups that decided that they wanted democracy enough to actually go out in the streets and pay for it with their blood. And in those countries, there was huge potential. In a country where, certainly in Iran, we face a very serious military and certainly destabilization threat, as much as they're involved in Iraq and the things that we've had to encounter with what they've done with the IED devices. So when thinking about the fact that we actually could have had leverage, I wrote recently about this Christian pastor who Iran has sentenced to be hanged because he won't recant his Christian faith. And what we could be doing to have rolling hunger strikes and how we could be influencing that. And if there was just an outcry and a person like that, a popular person who is standing against a regime, all we would have to do is support that. And yet we seem to find a few platitudes that hit the newspapers and the next day it's forgotten. So I think we've had tremendous opportunity to be influential. And where it's been important, we've completely overlooked it, and instead we're running around putting advisors into the Sudan.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's interesting you bring this up, the Sudan. You have the situation in the Sudan and Iran, and their examples of this hardline Sharia law that you're talking about, some of the worst, right?
You know, the Sudan, it's so difficult to even contemplate what the rules of engagement will be for our troops, because certainly if they are going to actually be confronting these forces that are, you know, don't operate by rules of war or civilized senses of war that we understand, there's certainly no idea that the Geneva Convention prevails. So to have our boots on the ground advising, quote, is a really difficult proposition. And so you look at some of these situations where we're getting mired in these really complicated, who knows whose side we're on and what we're really fighting for, and worse, what we expect the result to be. It's just, you know, you throw up your hands and it looks like we're jumping into messes we don't belong in because we don't have any idea what we want the outcome to be. And yet we bypass some great opportunities for potential just helping the people themselves, with a revolt and some kind of potential reform. And we're not involved there. So I go figure. I really, you know, to be spending the money, blood and treasure that we are, without having any influence is very difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Perfect place to end this interview. Karen Lugo, thanks so much. Islamic law expert and constitutional law attorney. We appreciate it.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000, but the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for Aromatic Liquids Extracted from a Broad Range of Flowers, Stems, Seeds, and Bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold-weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Just finished a great book called Responsible, and the author of that book is Pastor Matt Hagee, and just just such a great read. You know, with all the time crunches we're all in, it's very hard to sit down and within the course of 2 days finish a book. So to me, in my world, that means this was really good stuff. And as all of you know, I don't push things that I don't like. And there's a number of reasons why this book is a good read. And we've talked about religion and the beating that religion is taking these days due to many of the things that are happening in the world today. So without further ado, Pastor Hege joins us. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you joining us on America Tonight.
And Kate, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
As I said, I really did enjoy reading the book, and you tackled all kinds of things. And what I liked about the book right from the get-go, one of the things that you mentioned at the top is what people worry about, you know, the everyday things. What do you do about the mortgage? What do you do about retirement? What about kids in college? All the things that are weighing on people's shoulders today. Not like they didn't 3 decades ago, but life seems a little bit different from the 70s to where we are now in 2011. And I think that's part of the reason why I said religion is taking a beating, because you got to reach people who are very disillusioned. Do you find that's one of the main things that you find yourself doing, Pastor, trying to really reach out to those people who feel downtrodden and out of it?
Well, absolutely. As a pastor, I'm always reaching out and doing so in an effort to give people the opportunity to continue to believe. And that basis of belief is really the key ingredient to making a difference at any level. In regards to having a better business, the first thing you need to do is believe that you can. If you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, you have to believe that your marriage can improve. If you want to see a change for good in the world, and I don't know anybody who doesn't, at least anyone in their right mind, you have to believe that the world is someplace that you can impact and make a difference. And so one of the reasons why I hear the term that religion is taking a beating is because, one, we as religious leaders have forgotten how to inspire people to continue to believe, and two, we have failed to demonstrate daily relevance in the busy and fast-paced world that we're living in. As you mentioned, people worried about mortgage and worried about college tuition and 401ks that are not even, you know, available as they thought they would be, and all of the myriad of issues that life throws at you these days. And then three, I think that we have, in some regards, not been as sincere as we need to be about what it means to be a human being and a man and someone who is in desperate need of a merciful God.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about reaching adults, what about the younger set? What about the youth? Because today, you see this, they walk around a lot of kids, even in high schools and whatnot, with their heads down because they're texting all day long. So how do you get children, whether it's preteens, teenagers, and in their early 20s, involved in embracing religion and embracing God?
Well, I think that it requires a great deal of effort, not only on behalf of the church, but at home. We often here at our church have parents who come and they say, I'm looking for a program that, and what they're really going on to explain is that they're wanting to outsource the responsibility of parenting because they're too busy. And one of the reasons why kids are so disconnected in their own technologically fast-paced world is because the original social network that meets around the dinner table has broken down. Dad comes home at 8 p.m. after the kids have already done their homework and are getting ready for bed. The kids eat in front of the TV and mom drinks a shake because she's working out and doesn't want the extra calories. And, you know, I mean, all of those things are fine, but the byproduct of them is that you have failed to have one of the most important moments of your day, and that is a moment of connection with every member of your household and your family. And so as a church, we encourage families, spend time together, sit down and stare at each other, turn off the television and ask simple questions like, how was your day? and just see what kind of a conversation unfolds. And as you talk about reaching teens, the best way to reach a teenager is get them while they're young, so that whenever they get to be teenagers and suddenly get the opportunity to know everything, they remember who you were way back when.
I like that. Get the opportunity to know everything. You remember when you were a teenager. I remember
absolutely.
When I was a teenager.
I was brilliant at 18, and I'm absolutely, having to reinvent myself now that I'm past that age.
I understand. One of the things you say in your book is you say there isn't an area of life that doesn't require response. We're required to respond. We must respond politically. We can't afford to continue abusing the future generations of this nation for what seems to be popular and convenient today. What did you mean by that?
Pretty much exactly what it stated, that we as a nation, and it really doesn't matter your age, we as a people in America have got to really face tough issues. One, you cannot change what you will not confront. And I believe, and then you can even notice this in the current political debates and campaigns that are taking place, there are certain candidates who feel like there are certain issues that you can't talk about. Well, we need to talk about it. And in doing so, we have to come to terms with who is going to sacrifice, because we cannot continue to exist as we do. We cannot continue to vote for a lifestyle that we cannot afford. There are several reasons why. One reason in particular is that we, at this point in this country, have more consumers than we do producers. It is a very simple fact that there were a lot more Americans born during the baby boom than there were during the baby bust. And in light of that issue, we have more people needing the assistance than are producing the assistance. So how do we address that? Do we continue to print money that makes us feel like we can keep going as we are? Or do we say, you know what, it was a great idea if all of the things we assumed would happen did, but it didn't play out that way, and we've got to make a change. If we don't come to terms with those tough issues, we're going to derail the train of this freedom-loving nation pretty quickly. And it needs to be something that we have the courage to address. We cannot afford to ignore it. Otherwise, our children and our grandchildren will not enjoy the quality of life we currently do.
Oh, I so agree with that. Speaking of the candidates in 2012, is there anybody that stands out to you yet at this point? Is there anybody that you like so far? Is it too early to call?
You know, I kind of like looking at it in terms of that Secretariat is currently a movie I'm totally loving. My kids enjoy it. Everybody gets real happy when we hear "Oh, Happy Day" at the end. And just like that particular legendary horse, every time he broke from the gate, he always fell to the rear. And yet he obviously won more races than he lost. The reality of our current political race is they've just broke out of the gate, and calling it right now would be a waste of time. I mean, I like a candidate by the minute, by the moment, by the speech, by the soundbite, by the tweet. I'm following a ton of them on Twitter right now just to see what their new bumper stickers are going to say next week. So I have to be careful before I commit to a bumper sticker.
Boy, no kidding. We just have a few moments left, but quickly, Palestinian statehood. How do you feel about that and our role with Israel?
You know, America is a democracy. Israel is a democracy. We have a great deal of common ground with that very brave nation in a very hostile area of the world. I believe that as allies with Israel, we owe them the support that they deserve. The UN this last week heard quite a bit of conversation about